Beautiful song. Praise the Lord. Well, we're in the book of Romans. Romans 1, we just read verses 14 through 18. I want to read verse 18 again. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. But there is good news. And that is what the gospel is. It is good news. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. God's good news. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching. And I ask especially if there is someone here today who has never been saved, that you would save them today. But Lord, also that you would challenge Christians to give out this news, this good news, the best news, the only news that really matters. And I pray that we would be diligent to give out your good news. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a lot of bad news. Amen. I mean, to me, Romans 1, verse 18, that's bad news. That's the wrath of God. We talk about the wrath of God. We talk about hell. Certainly, we think of the tribulation, which is God's wrath poured out on this earth. And that certainly is bad news. There's a lot of bad news on the news. Our economy is, that's bad, bad news. I mean, you don't have to listen to the news very long or read the paper very much, and you'll see bad news. You'll see the economy. You'll see jobs are bad. Of course, you don't even have to read about it because many here experience it. You know what it is. The housing market, all the foreclosures. Drive up and down the streets, you'll see for sale signs. Just about every street in Adrian, you'll see for sale signs. I mean, it's the news certainly is bad. The debt, as far as the our national debt, is bad news. Now, it's not bad news for those who like to spend the money and figure there's no accountability, but every debt has to be paid. Somebody's got to pay it. And so certainly if I were back in the nursery laying in a crib, it'd be bad news to me to think about what that debt's going to be by the time they're old enough. But anyway, that's bad news. The, global warming. Every time they talk, I tremble. Just thinking about how man is destroying this earth. You know, this earth is not going to be destroyed until God destroys it. It's nothing's going to happen that's going to surprise God. But still, you read in the paper, it's such bad news. And by the way, because of this false science, laws are coming out that are going to be really bad news. But there's a lot of bad news, but God has good news. You know, God's people ought to always be smiling, really. I mean, in the midst of all the bad news, who really gets to hear good news? Except God's people. We always can. We just pick up our Bible and start to read it. Because the gospel, that's what the word gospel means. It means good news. When we talk about the gospel, and Paul talks about it here, he says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. What's he say? He says, I'm ready to preach good news. I'm ready to tell you the good news. I'm ready to go anywhere and tell people the good news. I'm ready to go to anybody and tell them the good news. That's one of the great things about Berean Baptist Church. We want to give out good news, and folks are hearing good news all over our ministry today. Isn't that great? You go over in the gym over here, and you go into the shepherd's ministry, and Brother Collins was in there earlier, and I guarantee he gave them some good news. Amen. Go into the junior churches right now, and if you walked in there, you would hear good news. In our Sunday school classes, all through the ministry, people are hearing good news. Back here in the 2 and 3 year olds, the young people, they're hearing about the good news. Tonight, we'll hear the good news again. The teen group, Brother Caleb, he'll probably give them some bad news. But in that bad news, he'll always give them the good news. And that's a wonderful thing that we have that good news. What is that gospel? What is that good news? Well, very simply, in 1 Corinthians 15, it's that Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. And that is good news. Praise the Lord. I mean, there is no better news than that. And that's always been the gospel. You know, nowadays, people are so confused as to what the gospel really is. It is good news. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. Now, certainly within that, we have that he died for me. We have in that he died for you. Praise God. We have in that he was buried for me. And he was buried for you. He rose again for me. And he rose again for you. He rose again so that we could have life. And so that we could also live all into eternity. Certainly, that is the best news, but that's always been the gospel. You would know it by what is called gospel TV shows nowadays. So many spend most of the time begging for money. That's not the gospel. The gospel's good news. Amen. The social gospel, that is not what the gospel is really all about. The gospel is about good news, that our sins are paid for, that we can be saved, that we can be forgiven, amen, and that we can have eternal life. Now, folks, that's good news. Tell your face. Amen. Some of you, it's like, you know, I'm saying all this, and I'm trying to just see a little response. It's like, I don't get it. It's good news. This is good stuff. I mean, if I told you today, hey, you know, everybody, as soon as you walk out the door there, Brother Jim Collins is going to hand each of you a $100 bill. Amen. Oh, that gets you excited. See how carnal? The love of money is the root of all evil. Brother Collins, do you have $100, all these $100 bills? He's going first, all right? You know, after church, folks will be chasing you out that parking lot, so you might want to leave during the invitation. But why not? Others do. Anyway, but we're sticking with good news, amen? We're not going to get into the bad news. But hey, you know, our sins are paid for. I mean, they're gone. Yes, my sins are gone, and we're forgiven, and praise God. That is good news. But Paul here in this passage, he really tells us a lot about this good news, about this gospel. By the way, remember that. This is what we're supposed to be telling folks. You gloom and doom kind of Christians, I don't understand it. You need to quit reading all your other material and get into the Word of God. Amen. Because it's good news. We're not supposed to be spreading gloom. We're supposed to be spreading excitement and happiness and joy because we have good news. The rest of the world may not understand that, but I understand it. Amen. I don't have to worry about all the things they worry about. I understand it is good news. So let me give you from this passage some things about the gospel. Number one is the preaching of the gospel. And verse 14, Paul talks about it. But I want to go to Romans 10, verse 13 real quick. Romans 10, verse 13. And then we'll go back to Romans 1. Romans 10, 13 says this. And by the way, we use this verse all the time. You have used this verse. We use this verse in the Romans road to salvation. This is our last point, and that is that you have to call on Jesus in order to be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the way, praise God that it is that way. Praise God you don't have to climb a mountain. We'd be in trouble. Praise God you don't have to swim across the ocean. You'd drown. Amen. Praise God, it's not a matter of something I've got to do. Praise God, I don't have to hang on a cross. Praise God, I don't have to go through tribulation. Praise God, I don't have to go through hell. Hey, listen to me. It's a matter of calling on Jesus to come into our heart and save us. And whosoever, that's anybody, amen, that's the worst sinner to the nice, sweet, kind sinner, if there is such a creature. Huh? Hey, just call on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. But then notice what it says. It says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Okay, all over our neighborhood, all over Adrian, all over Lenawee County, literally all over the world, there are people. We have to wonder, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they do it? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So how is your neighbor going to call on Jesus if they've never heard of Jesus? How is that guy that works with you in the factory, how will he call on Jesus if he's not heard of Jesus? How is that loved one, you say they're your relative, you say you care about them. Hey, how are they going to call on him, God says, if they've never heard of him? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. The preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. You know, we spent some time with a family that I had pastored back in Louisiana. In fact, I've given some illustrations about them. And they came in, we showed them the auditorium, and she sat right there where Kathy Morin is sitting right now. And she sat there because that's where she sat in Shreveport, in our church there, which was not anywhere near this big. But she always sat on that second pew, and she was talking about when they first started coming to our church, and her husband was unsaved. But literally, every week, are you listening? Every week, she had that pew full of people. She sat there, and I was just kind of watching her, and she kept looking up at the pulpit, and she had tears in her eyes, because she was remembering those days when we first went there to Shreveport, and when out soul winning, we met their family and got them coming. But she always, every week, she had her pew full of visitors that she wanted to hear the preaching of the gospel. You say, preacher, it's a little awkward for me to tell someone how to be saved. It's a little odd for me. It's kind of hard for me. Hey, listen to me. Bring them to church then. We got to talking about how she would literally sit on the edge of her seat and weigh every word that I said, and because she was scared to death I was going to run them off. She just wanted to hear the gospel. I mean, one time I remember she came, she said, preacher, she said, your message. And she literally, I mean, she would be very nervous. She'd say, preacher, you're not going to get after the Catholics today, are you? Because I got about five visitors, and they come from the Catholic Church. And she said, I said, well, you know, you're just going to have to listen and let God lead. You know how we preachers, we always let God do it. And literally she was on the edge of her seat. And I might even say, well, the Pope says, and she'd look at me like, you know why she's so excited? Because she always had visitors. You say, I can't lead somebody to the Lord. Well, I can. You say, I can't lead somebody to the Lord. Well, our altar workers can. Bring them to church. Get them in church. Why? They need to hear the good news. Amen. Amen. That's what it's talking about here. Well, look at the preaching of the gospel to Paul. Paul said this. He said, I am debtor. To him, it was a debt. To him, he owed a debt to mankind. To him, he had something that mankind needed, and he owed it to mankind to let them know. It would almost be like someone discovering a cure for cancer. They'd be a crook if they didn't tell other people, wouldn't they? I mean, they would be a terrible human being if they wouldn't tell other people about that cure for cancer, or maybe a cure for heart disease. I mean, all over this room we have folks that have some heart issues. Wouldn't it be something if there was a cure for that? Wouldn't it be something if there was a cure for diabetes? I mean, you'd be a terrible person if you had the cure and you never told anybody about it. Wouldn't it be something if there was a cure for being able to eat all kinds of foods and it didn't do anything bad to your body? Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. And you don't tell anybody. What a terrible thing that would be, that we would hold back and not tell people about that cure. And yet, we have the cure. And Paul said, you know, I have the cure for man's bondage. I have the cure for man going to hell. I have the cure for the misery of mankind. I have the cure. And Paul said, you know, it's a debt to me. It's a debt, this gospel and giving the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. To Paul, it was a debt. The preaching of the gospel, it's for all mankind, the Bible says. It says here that he's a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. He said somebody that has a doctor's degree in education, one of those Greek people that sit around and just talk about things according to the Bible. He said, I have a debt to them. But there's also the barbarians who didn't even get out of elementary school, can't tell you what 2 + 2 is. He said, you know what? I have a debt to them as well. He said, to the wise, to the unwise. He said in verse 16, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he didn't care who it was around him that was a human being. He said, I have a debt to them, no matter who they are. Doesn't matter if they're black. Doesn't matter if they're white. Doesn't matter if they're Spanish. Doesn't matter if they're intelligent. Doesn't matter if they're not intelligent. Doesn't matter what kind of car they drive. Doesn't matter how much money they have in the bank. He said, if they're human beings, I have a debt to them. You know, praise God for folks that understand that. Praise God for people that understand that the shepherds need the gospel. Praise God for folks who understand that the Spanish world needs the gospel and are concerned and burdened for that. Praise God for our missionaries who are concerned about their country and they'll learn a language so they can go, because they say, hey, I have a debt that I owe all mankind. And Paul even said in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And even at Rome, which would be a real hard place to preach the gospel. Shirley was telling me that Ben and his people there in Vancouver, they're doing everything they can to reach people and give them these Bibles, give them these New Testaments there in Vancouver at the Olympics. And the Canadians are, they don't want it. Trying to give out Bibles. I'm not interested. Get away from me. I don't want it. I was talking in Sunday school about when we were in Australia and went soul winning. And oh my, the people just, they wanted nothing to do with it. What would you read? I'm not interested in that. Don't care. Don't go to church. Don't want to go to church. Don't need it. Don't have any desire for it. You know what? Hey, listen to me. They still need it. And we still need to tell them. And if they don't hear it, they can't do it. That's what Romans says. Even at Rome. But Paul said, I have a debt. Doesn't matter how hard it is, I'm going to pay my debt. Doesn't matter how tough it is, I'm going to go to Rome. They put me in jail, they put me in jail. They did. Amen. Amen. Verse 16, though, he said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of it. By the way, it's the best news in the world. People say, well, I don't want to hear it. Who do you think you are? And we all of a sudden blush. Why? Why are we blushing? Why are we? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. You can't hand out a gospel tract at the store? Well, people might, what are you ashamed of? It's the best news. I mean, you would say something bad about something going on. You'd tell somebody, oh, the interest rate just went up. You'd tell somebody bad news. Why wouldn't you tell somebody good news? Why wouldn't we hand out a gospel tract that is all good news? That's all it is. Amen. We'll tell people about newspaper articles that are bad news. Huh? Why wouldn't we give out some good news? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. Are you? Are you ashamed at work? Are you ashamed? You see, it's the best news in the world. Well, but preacher, people don't want to hear it. But it's still the best news, whether they want to hear it or not. It's still good news. And you know, if something good, there's a lot of things I may tell people. Sometimes I'm doing it while I preach, and you don't really care. You know, I may tell something about myself, tell good news. Hey, this happened. Mrs. Rogers and I, God bless, or we love each other, we don't fight, or whatever it might be. And you sit there, well, to me, that's still good. I'd rather tell you that than say, hey, last night we had a knockdown, knockout, whatever it's called, fight. And, she threw me down the stairs again. I mean, honestly, there's some of you say, oh, I'd listen to that. That's because you don't think, hey, this is all good news. By the way, I'm saved. It's still good news hearing about it. I love it. Somebody gives a testimony and they tell, it's been so many years and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. I get excited about that. Why? It's good news. I hear a lot of bad news all week long. This week's been a bad news week. I mean, it started on Monday. Phone rang, bad news. Tuesday, phone rang. In fact, I'm getting ready to just quit having a phone. Amen. Honestly, it might save me a lot of heartaches and I'm, it just keeps falling out. But I'm just saying, you know what? Hey, listen to me. We have good news. Why would we be ashamed? It's still good news. Whether people like it or not, it's still good news. And folks need to hear good news. You know, go to work tomorrow. Go around your friends tomorrow. Go around your loved ones. Tell them, well, we were in church. We heard some good news. God's good. God saves. He'll save you if you want to get saved. You don't have to be mean to people. You don't have to be nasty to people. It is good news. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. Hey, have you heard? Jesus Christ died. He was buried. And He rose again so we could be saved and go to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And they'll look at you like, well, I don't know if it's wonderful or not. Well, it would be if you'd accept Him. It would be if you'd trust Him. Look, 1 Corinthians 1. Here's our problem. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. Why do we treat it like it's foolishness to us? Huh? You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because we don't talk about it. We must think it's foolish. But the Bible says to the them that perish, it's foolishness. To us, it says it's the power of God. You hear people all the time talking about, man, if I saw God do something. Hello? Did God do something? Are y'all out there today? I know it's Sunday morning. It's tough. It's really tough. You know, we're just struggling so much. Hey, did he do something?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. What's happening in you? What did he do? Was it so long ago it's got cobwebs all over it? I'm just saying, is it foolishness or is it the power of God? And if it is the power of God, certainly it seems like we would talk about it. I'll be honest with you. If God did something. Let's just say that you're praying this afternoon and right before your nap, you're praying and you say, God, I need $1,000. And all of a sudden, just blink, there's $1,000 in your hand. Wouldn't you come to church tonight and talk about that? You wouldn't want Tim to hear because he'd be looking for the tithe. But I'm just saying, wouldn't you, hey, wouldn't you be excited about that? I mean, if you were praying this afternoon and you've got some kind of problem that the doctor told you about and you said, oh God, please, there's this lump or there's this tumor, there's this growth and maybe it's on your neck and there it is. And you say, oh God, please take this away and blink, all of a sudden, it's gone. You say, woohoo! Wouldn't you come and talk about that? Well, isn't it foolishness?
No.
Well, to the world, it is foolishness. But how about us? It's supposed to be the power of God. Do you know the greatest miracle God has ever done is when He reached down and He grabbed your wicked, vile soul and He took you out of the pit and He put your feet on a solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, and He saved us and we're born again and we're new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we treat it like it's foolishness because we don't talk about it. Hey, man. I told you I had voice problems. I really have voice problems now. Hey, man. Well, I guess, again, is it the power of God or is it not? Oh, I'll tell you what, it is. It is. Amen. The preaching of the gospel. Number two is the person of the gospel. And that's what it's all about. He says in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What's he saying? The good news of Christ. The good news of Messiah, Christ, the anointed one. The good news of Jesus, who is Christ. Amen. He said the person of the gospel, it's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. Social gospel excludes Christ. Begging for money excludes Christ. But without Christ, there isn't any good news. Amen. There is no good news without Christ. Well, we could just be good people. You can't be good people without Christ. My Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags without Christ. There isn't any good news without Christ. If you want to teach people tradition, that's without Christ. That's not good news. You want to teach good works? Good works isn't good news. You know why? Because good works, according to the book of Romans, it can't save you, so that really is discouraging. Amen. You ever talk to somebody that says, well, I believe you just have to do good things in order to get to heaven, and you just look at them and say, really? Then who can go? Well, you know, I'm pretty much good. I said, so you got to try to figure out if you've been good enough. And then take them to all your righteousnesses or as filthy rags and describe the filthy rags as rags wrapped around a putrefying leprous sore. And say, there's your good works. Now, you still going to heaven? How you doing? And they walk away like, I got good news, though. You know what? Hey, I can be washed. The Bible says, amen. That leprous, putrefying sin can be washed away. It can be as if I never sinned at all. That's good news. But see, that's because of Jesus, amen. That's because of Christ. The church is built on Christ. Without Him, it's dead. Dead, dead, dead. Not just Christ died, but He was buried, and praise God, He rose again. That's victory. Victory over death. Here we are. We sit here today. We live in a world everybody's scared to die. Because we've never done it before. Please don't come up afterwards and say, oh, I did once. I saw a light and I went through a tunnel and I said, I've got to go back. You know how dumb that is? That you would want to come back? Anyway. Here's the solution to death. Life. By the way, that is the only solution to death. Life. Oh, when I die, I'm just going to let them cremate my body. Sorry, Jamie. And And I'll just be ashes, and they can sprinkle me out over the mountains or something like that. Yeah, you're not going to know what they do with your sprinkling. But anyway, the truth of the matter is your soul goes somewhere. That's why you're nervous. You know, it'd be very easy if all it was put me in an oven and poof, I'm gone. That's not what it is. And you know that, and everybody knows that deep down. And they're all nervous. That's why we work so hard to stay alive. Amen. We do, too. Boy, we run to the doctor, get a little sniffle, run to the doctor. It's over. No, you know, it's not over yet, but it will be. Anyway, you know, it's all because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. The third thing is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. Number one, the preaching of the gospel. Number two, the person of the gospel. Number three, the power of the gospel. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What kind of power is it? Well, you think about God's power. First thing I always think of is creation. Can you imagine the power of God in creation? What an amazing, amazing thing. God spoke and everything was just like He spoke it. Praise God. That's that kind of power. I think about the Red Sea parting. That's God's power. Amen. I think about the power of God that raised Lazarus from the dead, but raised Jesus from the dead as well. It is unlimited power. It's the power of God unto salvation. It is God's power that is going to guarantee my salvation. Unto salvation. You know, it's power that took a man named Saul who was persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was attacking and killing those who were proclaiming the gospel of Christ, and he persecuted that church, and then he got saved and started preaching to that church. That's God's power. That's not, I'll join a little group and through our little circle of counseling, we'll get through this. That's not what that is. That's God transforming somebody's life. That's God changing them. That's a new creature. That is something that only God can do. That's folks all over this room. It's the power of God unto salvation. Missionary Dr. George Green went to Africa to start his mission work. And as he took a boat up the river, he heard out in the jungle on both sides of that river, he heard war drums beating of the natives that were there in the jungle. After years of labor, he testified that he went down that same river, and all along that river, natives were on the shore singing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." Now, only God has that kind of power. Only God can save a cannibal who would eat alive that missionary and save him so that he would love and appreciate that missionary. I'm talking about the power of the gospel. Hey, has that power affected you? Have you been saved? I'm concerned, honestly. There's folks all over the room tonight, today, that there's nothing happening. Nothing happening. I'll be honest with you. You stick your fingers in an electric socket, something will happen. I remember I used to work on ceiling fans and it was exciting. And I was one that didn't turn the breaker off. I was one of these idiots. I just didn't really think very much, but I was always in a hurry. And so I would just turn the switch off and I'd get up there and start working, you know. And I remember one time this family, they had, I was putting in a ceiling fan and they had a little 5-year-old girl who was, you know, we were playing and talking and everything and just having a good time. And anyway, I went into the kitchen to install the ceiling fan and turned the switch off and got up there and started working and wasn't really paying attention. And all of a sudden, I got lit. You know, I don't know if you ever got, you know, when you don't expect it, it's exciting. And I mean, I was standing there and your hands are up here like this and I thought, whoa, what's going on? About fell off the ladder. And I looked down, that little 5-year-old girl was standing there smiling, just having such a good time. Now that's power. And that power motivated me. Amen. I mean, it was exciting. It was an exciting. By the way, mom came in and clapped at the little girl, said, "Now don't do that." And kept clapping. So now I'm trying to work and about every 5 seconds she clapped. Terrified me. I mean, I walked out of there like, I was terrified. Why? Because I got a shock. Because I got a hold of some power. I got news for you. 110's nothing compared to the power of God. It's not even close. Did anything happen to you? Huh? The power of God. All hail the power of Jesus' name. The power of the gospel. Last thing, number four, is the purpose. The purpose of the gospel, what's it all about? It's all about salvation. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's good news for everybody. Not just the wealthy, not just, you know, Americans. It's good news for all. It's good news for you if you've never been saved. Well, what do you mean? Well, verse 18 says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Sometimes we have someone who's just downright nasty. By the way, I was that someone as a teenager. I was that nasty one. And the Christians would talk to me and I'd make some smart remark, which actually was a stupid remark. And I'd cut them down and I'd attack them and I would be downright nasty. Well, I like my sin. I'm enjoying my sin. I'll party with all my friends down in hell and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes we get frustrated and we think, you know what, it just serves them right. Well, the truth of the matter is, it serves all of us right. That's what I deserve as well. But you know, when you start thinking about the wrath of God, the Bible talks about blood running like grapes in a wine press during the tribulation. The wrath of Almighty God. And I'll be real honest with you. There's a lot of people that probably hate me, but I don't think I hate anybody. And I really feel bad about the fact that God's wrath is going to be poured out on so many people. Maybe soon. The rapture may take place soon. You know, you'll hear people say, and talking to a teen not too long ago, yeah, I'm just going to do my own thing. You know, they have this idea that when they're old, they'll get things right and get saved. But what if the rapture takes place and you don't see old? What if during this service, I'm talking about in the next couple minutes, the rapture takes place and you're here. The wrath of God. I'm talking about the stars falling from the sky. I'm talking about a terrible, unbelievable thing because God's wrath. Now, I deserve that wrath, but I'm never going to see that wrath because Jesus took it for me. But again, you have to understand, the purpose of the gospel is, it's not to make people feel good. It's not to somehow soothe the consciences of people. It is to save people on their way to hell. You say, you don't hear much about that anymore. No, you don't see it. You don't see it in any advertising for churches. Very, very rarely. You just don't hear anything about it. Everything is whitewashed from the truth of verse 18. But verse 18 is God's word. And God's wrath will be poured out on mankind. Those who are lost. But again, the Bible says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So what am I supposed to do? Well, I'm just supposed to tell them so they can believe. Somebody had to tell me so that I could believe. I remember a youth director at Grace Baptist Church in Bluffton, Indiana, and a missionary. And they took me back in the room. They said, we need to talk to you. I said, why? Am I doing something wrong? They said, well, You need to get saved. I said, how do you know I'm not saved? They said, we saw you raise your hand. You're not supposed to be looking. But so many people sat down with me and said, you need to get saved. I told you at the camp, that hundreds, thousand, maybe 2,000 teenagers. It was a huge camp. And I was sitting back in the middle of the camp. And the preacher was preaching, and he came down during the invitation. ignored everybody else. It was almost like I was the only person in that room. And he came up to me and said, "Son, you need to trust Christ as your Savior." And I sat there, sweat pouring off my body under so much conviction. But I said no. But I heard. I heard. I'm just saying, there came a time, though, when I did believe. People need to hear so they can believe. Your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, a relative, mom, dad, brother, sister, cousin, aunt, uncle, people you work with, people you go to school with. Shouldn't they get to hear? Shouldn't you be the one to tell them this good news? Again, how shall they hear? You say, I just don't know what to say. Well, first of all, learn what to say. Second of all, bring them to church. Get them in church. You know what? You know what else is frustrating? When a teenager will bring a visitor and then they sit and talk the whole service. How foolish. How foolish. Now listen, they just need to believe. Need to believe what God said and trust Him. Believe that they're sinners. Believe that the wage of sin is death. Believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay that wage for them. And call on Jesus to come into their heart. It's not a religious thing. It's not a works thing. Believing that God's work is already done. The best thing about God's plan and the gospel, and really maybe the best news about it all, it's a gift. It's a gift. You ever gone door-to-door selling anything? What a pain. I can't even imagine today trying to go door-to-door selling anything. I can't imagine. People do because they knock on my door. But it's hard to even imagine that. I remember selling light bulbs when I was in the Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. Yeah, I remember selling Tom Watt kits. How many of you know what I'm talking about, a Tom Watt kit? Can you imagine? Nope, you don't know what that is? Really? Amazing. You know what it is, Bob? Good. Remember all the junk that was in those kits? And we actually went door to door and sold that junk. It's amazing. People actually bought that junk. But it's just, you know, what we have, though, doesn't cost a thing. It's free to everyone. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. That's everyone. Amen? He already did the work. And that's why Paul was so excited, because he really believed it. I am convinced that a lot of folks, independent fundamental Baptists, don't really believe it. Anybody can have their life transformed. You have a loved one, their life's a mess. They can have their life transformed. Do you know that? They really can. That coworker whose life is a mess, his life can be transformed. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. But I accepted His free gift. I can't even imagine what my life would be like had I not trusted Christ as my Savior. And then, that's not even all. The good news goes beyond just our salvation. It goes on into eternal life in heaven for all eternity. It's great news. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, don't reject Him today. Don't reject His free gift of salvation. And Christian, don't neglect to tell people. Don't neglect to have gospel tracts, good news tracts you can hand out everywhere you go and leave them in people's hands. Don't neglect to tell people, to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason for the hope. Maybe they don't see the hope. They should. Paul said, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It is God's good news. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No talking, no looking around. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who'd say, "Preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And if I were to die right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I am not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? I do not know whether I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, I am saved. I've trusted Christ, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me." Raise your hand. All over. Thank you. God bless you. Many, many hands have gone up. Father, I do pray that you will bless our invitation and help us, Lord, to be like Paul and be excited about the good news that we know, the good news that we have accepted, the good news that's in our heart that has changed our lives. God, help us to be excited enough to pass it on and tell others this good news. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 272, let's all stand. 272 in your hymnals. Jesus, I come. God's speaking to your heart today. You have a decision to make. You come. Instruments continue to play. If you need to make a decision, join these. There's something you need to pray about today. You come. If you're not sure you're saved, please don't leave here without Christ. Come and trust Christ as Savior. You'll see it is the power of God unto salvation. Life transforming. If you need to come, there's still time. One more verse. If you need to come, come on this verse. Amen. Look up this way, please. Don't forget, 4:30, ensemble practice, 5 o'clock, choir, children's choirs, teens, men's prayer, ladies' prayer, 6 o'clock, evening service. A lot of things going on, brass ensemble, 5:30. So don't forget that. And praise the Lord. We'll look forward to seeing everyone back again tonight. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we are truly thankful that you gave to us the power of salvation. And Lord, that ask that you would keep this message on our hearts this week, that we go forth with the very hope of eternal life that we need to share with others. Pray your Holy Spirit's power on us that will go with us as we go and share that power with others. Guide and direct, Lord. Bring us safely again this evening. We pray in Jesus' name.